So the epistle for Sexagesima Sunday is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise, I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. In journeying often in perils of waters in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labors and painfulness, in much watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak. Who is scandalized, and I am not on fire. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas, the king, guarded the city of Damascus to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one wrapped even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words, which is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth, but I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly, therefore, I would glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 8. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities, unto him he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And others, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And others, some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And others, some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up, yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, the seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Please be seated. And when he sowed, some seeds fell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So in these Sundays, these 3 Sundays that we have as a preparation for the season of Lent, we have different things to contemplate about, different things to think about. This Sunday we see the parable of the sower of the seeds, and the seeds falling on the different grounds. And so in some ways, it is not the quantity of the seeds which brings about abundant growth. Because good soil brings to fruition a few seeds as well as the many. So it's not just we look at how many seeds were sown, but it is more of, in a sense, the quality of these seeds and the ground that it falls into. So it's not just the case of that the good soil received the most seeds. That's where we see in the parable, our Lord says, some seed fell on the good ground, some seed fell on the wayside, some on the rocky soil, and some on the thorns. And so with that, it is just the seeds that went out. And so as the sower went, the seeds went to the different grounds. We see the explanation of those grounds in the parable by our Lord himself. Now, the apostles ask, so what does this all mean? And that's where our Lord then explains to them about how then the seeds are either choked up or taken away in time of temptation, or then how they have fallen on good ground and therefore that they will grow and come to fruition. So certainly before we've spoken about the dispositions of the soul, of receiving the word of God, which is the seed itself. In a large sense, yes, that is how that it works for us. How well are we disposed to listen to the word of God? And so therefore then, yes, the seeds fall on different grounds. But in one aspect, we can look at this and see that the sower, that for him, he was generous to all. And so even in a way, he doesn't withhold the good seed even for kind of, and we can say, the unproductive soils. And that's why at first, maybe first look, the people accept the word of God, but then time and temptation, okay, they lose it. So it's not necessarily that the only ones that would grow would be just the good seed. We see that there were opportunities that they were growing in some of the other grounds and the other soils. But because of certain situations, because of how people are, well, then it got choked up or it was taken away. And therefore, it did not grow. We can even look at that in terms of Almighty God. I mean, certainly God gives good things to even the wicked souls. Maybe as a means to try to convert them, to help them, to bring them along. So it's not necessarily that God only gives the good things to the good souls. I mean, sometimes obviously we see good souls suffer, and they suffer for a purpose for that. I think it's also something by the fact that we see that the sower who gives the seed growth is not the sower is not the one that gives the growth to the seed. For he merely just scatters all of the seed. Again, that comes back to the idea and the sense of our dispositions to that. So truly it lies in a way in the soil that is there. What does it fall upon? Does it fall upon deaf ears? Well, certainly then it won't grow. Does it fall upon those that are so caught up with the world itself that it chokes it out? Well, again, it won't grow. But for the sower, he tries to bring it to all the different areas. The good and the bad. In the hopes that this seed will grow, that it will come to fruition, that it won't be choked up, it won't be taken away. But it's reliant upon then the soil. And so we can see that it is this, in a sense, this intimate relationship between the seed and the soil, which is critical. That is what God takes to make this seed to grow. And as we see in the parable, certainly it is in reference to the Word of God. of whether then our faith will grow in us. So therefore we look that God makes this work together, that it is His word that comes to us, the faith that comes to us, and those who receive it will help it then to grow. We will allow then this growth to take place from the seed. And so this divine seed that comes to us, our faith that comes to us, you know, it is something that we have to maybe try to meditate upon and think about. But in some ways, it should also give us a great hope too. You know, as I mentioned, that Almighty God, He gives this seed to all souls. The sower doesn't come and just look and say, okay, well, I'm only going to give it to these people. That is it. But He goes out and He gives it to all souls. In a way, you know, maybe how bad that a person appears to us. I mean, as long as that person lives and then that the seed is there, it will have an opportunity to grow. There is that hope of salvation for that soul. I mean, that's what we can truly say, that with every soul, there is always the hope of them being saved until their final breath. There is always that chance for that soul to take then that seed that is there and allow it to grow and to come to fruition. So it's not necessarily that we just see, okay, the sower is only giving to the good soil that is there. Now we see very clearly that the sower gave to all four of the different grounds in the hopes that it would grow, in the desire that it would grow. But as I say, it depends on, obviously, then also the disposition of the soil that is there, whether it will grow or not. Because just as you hear the word of God at Mass today, there will be some souls that are taken by that and live that life, and there will be some souls that doesn't really make any account to them. Doesn't change anything in their lives, doesn't change them. And so that seed that is meant to be given to them, for some souls, they'll turn a deaf ear to. For some souls, yes, they'll take it a little bit, try for a little while. Time of temptation comes, they fall flat on their face. But again, it is meant for everyone to hear the word of God. It is meant for everyone to take that seed that is implanted in them and for it to grow. It is meant for all of us to receive that seed. And that is where the sower shows that he gives it to all the different grounds. And obviously we know with our Lord Jesus Christ, he knows clearly who will receive that seed, who will take that and it will grow to fruition, and who will not. And so it's important for us to understand then for our own souls, what is our disposition? What is, in a sense, our soil? Is it a good soil? Is it not? Is it a soil that will allow then the seed to grow? Or do we know sitting in these pews that this seed will never grow unless we change our lives? Unless we change something in us, the seed can go and we can hear it and it doesn't matter to us. Or maybe for some souls we don't even hear it because we're asleep during the sermon. Or maybe it doesn't change us at all. But that is where the reflection must come on this parable and seeing what does this mean. I mean, our Lord explains very clearly to the apostles, because they asked, they said, so what does this all mean? We don't understand the four grounds. So he goes step by step to them and showing the seed is the word of God. The sower is obviously Almighty God. Or we can say our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he sows that seed to all the different grounds, all the different souls that are out there. Some will take it, it will grow. Some won't take it because they're too concerned about the things of this world. And some, you see, the wayside, it kind of falls there and then it's taken up immediately, pretty much. And so you see the rocky ground, you see the thorny ground, you see the wayside. None of those are good soil. You farmers know that. You know you're not going to stick, you know, your seeds or your crops or anything in grounds like that. You're going to prepare the soil, you're going to prepare it and make sure that it will accept what is going to be given to it. And so that is what we must try to do for our souls, to be receptive of the Word of God. I mean, that is a mystery that sometimes we think about. Why some souls accept the Word of God and some souls don't. They hear the same message. They hear the same thing. Some souls take to it. Some souls doesn't make a difference in them. I mean, obviously it is the grace of God. It is the work of God in the soul. But the soul has to be disposed to that. Because God is not going to force us to be saved. And that famous saying of St. Augustine, who said, God created us without us, but he's not going to save us without us. We've got to be open to it. We've got to be receptive of that grace that comes. And so that's why I think it is a good meditation for us. I mean, obviously, it is also a consolation of knowing there is the hope that all of us will be saved until our dying breath. We all have that opportunity. We can't count anyone out in a way because the grace of God can work miracles in a soul. And so we all have that great hope in that. As I said, no matter how bad we see a person may be, we may think, oh, they're never going to listen to the Word of God. You'd be surprised. Because appearances can fool us. You can also have a soul that appears to be really good, and they won't save their soul. And so that's where it's important for us to meditate upon this fact. I mean, knowing that God plants the divine seed into our hearts, our minds, our souls, he gives us that seed. But our dispositions will tell whether it will grow or not. Whether it will be choked up, whether it will just not grow because of the ground that it's on. And so therefore, what will it take for us to produce fruit? And that is a reflection for all of us to make. What will it take for me to produce the fruit that I need in order for this seed to grow? I mean, it's a perfect time for us as we prepare for Lent. Lent is coming quickly, March 1st. So we're in this second Sunday of preparation. So it's a great time for us to see what will it take for me to prepare my soul for that. What do I need to try to do to get ready for this time period of Lent? The third order conference that I'll give is on mortification. Try to help us to try to determine and see what do I need to try to do. What do I need to try to do in order to allow this seed to grow in my soul? So therefore, take that time to meditate upon that. Because in a way, it shows to us that the sower, yes, he sowed the seed everywhere. So then on Judgment Day, it will come back to us as, what did you do with that seed? It won't come back to the sower and saying, well, why'd you put it over there? No, it'll come back to us. What did you do with that seed? That seed that was given to you. So therefore, we must care for it. We must allow it to grow in our soul, to nurture it, to nurture the faith that we have to give to our children, and then allowing it to grow in all of our lives. And so that must be the reflection for us now. As I say, as we start preparing for the holy season of Lent, start thinking now, what should I do? How should I prepare for it? What do I need to do in order to allow the seed to grow in my soul? Because as I say, that is what God will ask of all of us on Judgment Day. This is what I gave you. What did you do with it? And God willing, it will be said of us that we are the good soil that yielded fruit 100-fold. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.